In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg. And as we have the privilege of listening to various missionaries that are serving in various sections of the world, each story is different. We have Brad and Courtney Richard with us this morning. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You are a new type of ministry that I've never had the privilege of interviewing, and you're going to be involved in aviation and nursing and whatever else they want to add to your job description when you get there. But tell us about how the Lord worked on your heart to get you to actively consider missions. We'll start with you, Courtney.
All right. Well, whenever I was about 13, I was at a camp for kids, and I got to see some missionaries. They were from Africa, I believe. And I was just inspired by what they were doing, and I thought, I couldn't imagine a place where people had never heard of the gospel.
Oh.
And so I've just been always raised in it. So I came home and I talked to my pastor and the children's pastor, and I was just saying, I feel like I'm called into missions. And they just encouraged me to just pursue the Lord and pursue serving him in whatever way he wanted me to. And so they kind of said, don't commit to Africa today. Commit to serving the Lord today. Because I was kind of like, should I go to Africa?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So, yeah.
That was good advice.
Yeah.
Because at that age, what can you do for Africa?
Right. Yeah.
But at that age, what can you do for the Lord? Neat.
Yeah.
And that was at what age? 11?
About 13.
13. Okay. Junior high age.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Brad, how about yourself?
Well, looking back, I can see how God was pulling me towards missions early on in life. I don't have any particular experiences, but I can see that God was putting a heart for missions inside me. It wasn't until college that I felt called into mission work. It wasn't until college that I realized that there were support ministries available. Growing up, I always thought that missionaries were teachers and preachers, and they were there to teach the gospel, and I didn't feel God gifted me to teach. So I never really considered mission work until I realized that you could put other vocations along with mission work.
Okay.
So whenever I found that you could be a pilot and a missionary, that's when the light bulb turned on in my head, and that's whenever I felt God strongly calling me into the missions. He used a short-term mission trip to China in college to really show me clearly that that's what he desired for me to do.
Okay.
And it was that next semester that I jumped into flight training for this goal.
Now, what was your major when you first went to college?
Well, that's a fun story because it changed multiple times.
All right.
And that
By the way, the average is five times.
Hey.
The average is five times.
I think I'm better than average then.
All right. You just four.
Yeah. That was partly how God drew me into mission work because I was discontent with a lot of the majors that I was doing. I jumped in to college with a petroleum engineering degree in sight.
Okay.
For the purpose of optometry, actually. I had to get an undergrad before I could get into grad school.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to do petroleum engineering. I had a history with it, but I wasn't content with that.
Yeah.
So I changed to physical therapy. Quite the change.
That is quite a change.
Yeah, and didn't like that either. Changed back to petroleum engineering. Couldn't make up my mind what I wanted to do. I was confused. Didn't know where I needed to go. And I think a lot of that was because I was pursuing my own desires, and I wasn't focusing enough on what the Lord had for me. The first semester of my junior year, I had enrolled and had started classes, and within the first week or 2 weeks, I was just distraught. I dropped out of most of the classes that I had, stayed some online classes, and just used that semester to focus on scripture and prayer and seeking what the Lord had for me.
Has it come to that?
It has come
scripture
to that.
Scripture and prayer. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Hadn't done that until then.
I know. It took 20 years for me to figure out I needed to trust in the Lord for that.
He's a slow learner.
Slow learner. Don't ask her to elaborate.
Okay. Well, we won't go there.
But the Lord did bring to my attention what is available in missions and how there are so many options to serve him. And that's the semester that I was able to go to China, and he finally...
But now, I don't connect China and aviation.
China was just kind of a litmus test in some ways for God to use me in missions.
Okay.
I had no experience in missions up to this point whatsoever. I'd grown up in the church, but just hadn't been around missions. Had seen a couple missionaries at times, but just didn't know what it was.
So you went with a college group?
We went with a college group. Was a Focus International, went on a short-term trip over Christmas to China.
Okay.
It was only like 2.5 weeks long.
Yeah.
And it was really good because I was able to share the gospel and witness and try to disciple people in China. We were at a college university, and I probably spent half my time doing that, but then the other half was spent with the missionaries, asking them questions about missions. What does this look like, and how did you get into it, and how did you know God was calling you into it, and all these different things. And God used all of that experience.
Now, their experience in China probably couldn't be preaching in a local church, not in China. Were they teaching in a university?
I think a lot of them were English teachers.
Yeah.
So that would have been more of their platform.
Right.
But then they were sharing the gospel on the side as much as they could.
See, that's another ministry of missions that you don't often think about. You know, being an English teacher in a university, in kind of a quote-unquote closed country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so God used that and had nothing to do with aviation. None of them were connected to aviation, but God had showed me before that trip that aviation was an option, and I had started researching it, and then whenever I got back, I just felt clearly in my mind that God was calling me into mission work, but not into that type of mission work, just a different kind.
Right. And your presentation to our church was so, I think, beneficial, descriptive. Describe what you did in that message with your cards.
Yeah, we found a presentation developed by another missionary, but it is very useful in showing how many different roles go into mission work, especially more specific tribal mission work.
Okay.
Mission work that's in remote areas.
Yeah.
And it shows how many jobs the tribal missionaries, the tribal church planters have, and how they need help to accomplish those goals. So they're out in the middle of the jungle in the mountains, and they're trying to translate the Bible. They're trying to create lesson plans, linguistically create a written language for the people group that they're in. They're translating the Bible. They're translating teaching lessons so that they can teach the gospel. And finally, after 3 to 4 years, after learning the language and culture and all of these things, they can finally teach the gospel.
Yeah.
So their focus is sharing the gospel with these people. They bring humanitarian aid as able, but their focus is the spiritual welfare of these tribal people. And there's just a whole infrastructure, a whole network of people behind them that make that possible, including aviation, medical, construction, maintenance, supply buying, administration, and the list goes on.
Now, you have 3 children. How are you preparing them for the cultural adjustment of Papua New Guinea? I'm going to turn to you, Courtney.
Yeah, I think our ages of our kids are 8, 6, and 2. And so we've been in training for 4 years. So Henry has been seeing what we've been doing, and he's been a part of the training. He's heard the need a lot. I think he didn't believe the need for a little while because everyone around us believed in the Lord. So he's like, look, everybody knows about God. So what are we doing? And I'm like, okay, well, there are people that don't. So, but they understand it. And I think that's been really helpful for them, is to kind of be saturated in it with us. But then we also do devotionals with them every night. And after we do a devotional, we read books about moving overseas.
Okay.
There's
okay.
books that are written by MKs that kind of tell their process of moving overseas, all their heart. Some of them, they're hard. I mean, you see them missing people, missing their toys, missing their home country. Everything's weird.
Okay.
But kind of just allowing them to see that they're not the only ones going through this,
right,
and
right.
that there's a larger purpose to it because you get to see what the MKs in the books got to do themselves to help with the mission.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's kind of how we're helping them right now.
So does that open up conversations then?
Yeah, a lot of times we'll say, so in Papua New Guinea, are we going to learn the language with you? And yeah, we're going to try to help them learn language.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And who all will we talk to? And will we have very many friends that are natives?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
All those different things. And just our ministry is a little bit different because we're going to be on a base with a bunch of believers who mm-hmm. mainly speak English, but
yeah.
we will
yeah.
have interactions and we want to take our kids out to the tribes that we're ministering to.
Sure.
And
yeah.
so that they can do that to the MKs that are out there and mm-hmm. also to the kids mm-hmm. that are out there. Yeah.
We desire for our kids to be a part of our ministry. They're not just along for the ride. They're just as much a part of the ministry as we are. So we want them to be able to help in as many ways as possible. And we've tried to communicate that and make that work here.
Even on deputation, a lot of times we would be meeting with a family and we would say to our kids, if you want to add anything,
yeah,
you can.
Right, right.
And sometimes that went really well. And sometimes it was a little bit funny because they would bring up the blunt things uh-huh, that we uh-huh. try to say subtly.
And you're going, time.
Yeah, exactly. But honestly, there's nothing better than the honesty of a kid, you know. We were at about 50% earlier in the summer, and we would say that if people asked, but we didn't want to, you know, just like always be like, oh, we're only at 50%
right,
of what
right.
we need. And Henry just, you know, spoke up. Well, you know, we're at 50%, right, Mom? And I'm like, you're right.
And we need you to start giving, okay?
I know, it's a little bit awkward, but yeah.
Just speaking the truth in love, that's biblical, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But when your children know that they're not in the way, but they're a part of the way, that this is a family ministry, it's just so bonding together as a family. I remember for one time we had a real financial crunch. And so I asked our folks, I said, in a month, I'm going to ask you to give an entire week's salary. We called it, and I gave it all Sunday. And so we prayed about it as a church. We prayed about it as a family. And it was an amazing Sunday. I gave my entire week's salary, and a lot of our members gave their entire week's salary. And on the way home, our youngest son, who just finished 20 years of missionary in Brazil, who's now starting a church where we're going to be helping in Atlanta, he was standing in the middle of the back seat, and he said, you know, Dad, he said, I emptied my piggy bank. I gave everything I had. But he said, I want to give God me. I want to give God me. When your children are so together with you in the ministry, it's not a sacrifice. It's a joy. And as we consider, there's no sacrifice that is so great that is greater than the one our Lord made for us. Well, folks, we're out of time. Join us again next time as we continue our conversation with Brad and Courtney. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.